I was about to come up here and say there's two things I know, but there I'm going to say there's three things I know. One, Jesus loves me. Two, I am the only thing standing between this group of people and ice cream social. And I also know that the clock is ticking on said ice cream social, so therefore it is. And the third, you're going to have to work with you on this. I know that anybody that drives a black vehicle is a superior person with great knowledge, wisdom, and makes good choices. And those that don't fall short of the spectrum. Apologize. Did that offend you? That's about half it did, half it didn't. There's another side note to that, too, about opinions and what we think opinion is. Max and Jessica have a thing going. Max has about 200 gates, none latched exactly the same way. Max says it's a study to see which gate works properly. Jessica asked Max, is there data? Max says no. So therefore, it's an opinion, not a study. We discussed that. So therefore, you got your opinions in your studies. But that's where I want to go tonight about... Well, let's go ahead and go to Proverbs 19. It would be a perfect place to start with that. Proverbs 19:11 simply states, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So as I comment about the car that you, the color of car you chose wrong, the wise man will forgive me. Okay, now why is he talking about opinions and cars and offenses like that? What is it really to be offended? And we live in a world, and I think that term thick skin, thin skin comes to mind. Every little thing to certain people will offend them. Everything you say will offend them. Well, take that on to the fact. What happens to you, and I'm going to speak to the Christians now, what happens when you become offended by whatever is said? And then the next question is, and how do you act once you have been offended? The writer here in Proverbs says it's to great, it's a glory to overlook an offense. I'm going to back this up and my process of putting together a lesson like this. And I think you're all aware of, a handful of weeks ago, the Olympics started out. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy competition. I love athletes performing at their best. I like watching them do it. The politics and ideas and the idiocy of people that put on an opening ceremony is beyond me. But that's what got this topic started. If you remember, there's a part of the opening ceremony, and they literally took jabs at, apparently, I should say, I'm not in their mind, so I don't know their thinking on this, but everything they put on the stage was to mock what Christianity is. I realize it was just a painting, it was just an idea, but the appearance of mocking what God has set forth. And we're going to get that to a minute about some of the verses that brought up. And it brought a lot of error, if you will, to those that understood that and saw what that was and what some people took liberties to giving. So with that being said, what I watched and read over the next couple days and weeks were responses to that. And a lot of them, I think, rightly so, were offended to that point of somebody taking literally a jab at people's religion, a religion that will not, I don't want to say fight back, but there are certain religions people don't touch because of fear of retribution of certain religions in this world that we live in. But it appears to me sometimes that Christianity is one of those religions that you can freely mock and make fun of and yet not have anything happen. But with that being said, and apparently this what raised up in a lot of people, and I think rightfully so, was took an offense to what a certain people try to mock what God has put down. With that being said, then there was one commentator I took to, and he took almost the polar opposite idea of that, saying, okay, why are we being offended by this? And should we be offended by this? And what does it do when we take that level and we allow it to happen? And that being said, and there's a lot of things I did agree with what he was saying about that, being offended, and maybe we shouldn't be offended as Christians over that too. More on that later. But just for that point, if you're offended by something, what does it do to you? How does it make you act? There's a point in there that the anger starts coming. The defensiveness. Son had a wonderful lesson about prayer this last Wednesday, and we one thing to talk about the prayer of anger and what. And again, not simply the anger itself, but what that anger leads to, what that allows. Once you've been offended, once that draws that anger against another person's, then that allows Satan a place to enter in and do what Satan does, and that's creates a division between the two. Another point, this certain commentary I was listening on this offensiveness on this Olympics is these are not Christians. These are sinners. And what do we expect sinners to do? They're going to sin. And we know through our scriptures that we cannot remove ourselves from the world because we are in the world. That doesn't mean we have to be of the world and we don't have to accept what that world gives, because we have a direction and a purpose with that. So we're for that. But again, that anger and that purpose. And I know we as people are proud, and as individuals we take pride in what our group is. Analogy I've lived through part of it too is army life in general. In an army structure, a military structure, you're of a small group. Well, you don't mess with my group. You know, if you're a member of a squad that's of 6-7 people, you don't mess with my squad. But then again, once you move out to a platoon, you don't mess with my platoon. You don't mess with my company. Once you're a part of that, that's part of you. And understand that, and that's totally acceptable to be pride in, to take that pride in what you do and in the individuals that you are around and you work with. But again, that question comes back to the point, once we have been offended, how are we going to react and do that too? Take just think about Christ's life and the time in his ministries. How many times he put down love and forgiveness and compassion to those? Many times he could have taken offense to an affront to problems. Now, with that being said, we all understand Matthew 21:12, when he walks into God's synagogue and they were selling and making trades and they were making money off of what was God's, then he did take exception to that and he did take action to that and he was angry in that, but yet he fulfilled that in itself. Another verse we're real familiar with, Galatians, and I'll tell you we're going to get to that too, and one of those verses that they used back in that Olympic controversy, if you will, was in Galatians 6 and 7. Again, familiar to all of us. Pick up 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. For the one who sows pleases the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There is a point in time that, yes, we have a truly fundamental obligation to defend what God's Word says. Now that has to be seasoned with a certain amount of love and forgiveness and a way that is done so that we don't push those away more. I want to keep coming back to that. You're gonna, and I hope you can hope you're feeling what I'm putting down, as the kids say, because I feel like I'm talking duality a lot. I'm saying don't be offended, then I'm saying be offended by what they say. I'm saying forgive, but yet stand firm in what you believe. I think a man can do that, but understand that has to be given. That has to be given out of love and respect. Understand what God has given us and the cost we have. At the same time, allowing God his part. With that same point, go to Romans 12. Talking about allowing God to do his part and have his part that he has laid out. And we have, of course, we have our part too. You know, Paul's talking about here in 12, pick up in 17. You know, he earlier in the chapter, he's talking about love. Love the things that you do and hate evil. But pick up there in 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take vengeance, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, the Lord, on the contrary. Let's get down. And do not overcome evil by hurting, come evil, evil. Now, that's that fine line I feel like I'm talking over, because God has his part for those that sin and continue to commit sin, however they do it, in that role that they seem to take more liberties in the world we live in, and I don't know why they feel it necessary. I guess it's the one thing they can break down to bring themselves back. But if we take offense to that, if we get angry, if we do something against God's will, where does that put us in the understanding of what God is and God's plan for us? And not putting ourselves in God's role, because there will be a response to sin. And there will be a response for those that do sin as well. Again, I'm really careful about what I'm trying to say and how I'm trying to say it, because I'm not putting words. There's a lot of thought that you're going to have to create and move onto that as well. Just a handful more verses we'll cover. Hit Romans 8 real quick. Again, Paul's talking about, there's a lot that he's talking about here. And here, 8 and 31, talking about how that response is that we have to be offended and to do the proper thing in God's eyes, and how we should approach that. Romans 8 and 31, linked there, but we'll finish out the chapter. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who does not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give all things to whom bring the change against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life as right hand of God. It will intercede for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall troubles or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness, danger of sword? As is written, for your sake we face death daily long, and we consider as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height or depth or anything else, creation, will be able to separate us from the love that Christ Jesus has shown. This is where the separation that is between God's chosen and God's servants versus the light, the reality of non-Christians, of those that continue to do things, I don't to revoke response, to literally mock God in that sense, who blatantly will be in affront to what he says, then that all still comes back to what we have said and how we deal with that. There's one other thing, and I was really, and I've never really completely changed a topic, but I really had to come back and rethink, especially after this morning, after Josh's lesson on Ezekiel and talking about Ezekiel was given a mandate, was given on it that he really didn't want to do. But yet at the time he understood it had to be done. This was God's will, talking about what Judah was doing, and he needed to go forth and put that out there. This time and a place where, what is the saying? The only thing for evil to succeed or to continue on is for good men to remain quiet. Change that to a good Christian. There are a lot of things that the world will take its liberty of. There are a lot of things that we as Christians, the silence needs to stop. I know those are easy words. Those are easy words. Those are really hard actions. But are they? Are they as simple as I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to buy your product if you're promoting this. I'm not going to accept that in my presence. I will find another way. To your family members, to your friends, to all those that need to hear, that is not right. Maybe too many times we have remained silent. Maybe we've taken offense by something, an action or something somebody says. Again, I really hope I'm conveying what's in my mind, in the sense of that is a course of action that we have to decide as individuals, to not be offended, but yet to stand firm in what Christ has put down and what God's plan is for us. And so long as it's done out of love, then it doesn't, I was about to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter. Because you can not be offended, but you can also offend somebody as well. But if they are offended, when it's done right and done properly through the love that Christ has said, then that's given. I'll finish up that idea. Second Corinthians, I'll finish up this evening, because the ice cream is melting, as Justin told me. The cone is gripping. I'm sorry. But 2 Corinthians 2, in chapter 13, starting in 7, 13 verse, we'll go ahead and back up, starting 4. But what Paul is talking about here is about that love. We also, you see this passage a lot in a marriage ceremony, in a two individuals coming together to spend a life together. But this love that Paul's talking about here, this understanding, the gift that God has given us, His only Son to die on the cross for our sins, that was given out of love. How we deal with the world, how we deal with each other, how we deal with those people that may offend us, may come down to love. What Paul says about there. I said 2 Corinthians 13. It was 1 Corinthians. I apologize. I'm not my second note, but 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not eagerly angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. This is what God's word is for us. God's word is love. These are the things that God's word gives to us. Is it always comfortable? Is it always the easiest thing to do? Didn't talk about that. It talked about what evil is. It talks about the things it will protect. It talks about it always is there. Again, may not be the simplest, easiest course, but with that. So again, I kind of hope you're following the idea about, when I say don't be offended, there are a lot of the easy things in life that can offend us. And those easy things, talking about your selection of your car color, is truly trivial. But more so than that is the stance that God has us to stand for. The being obedient, to be a defender of His laws and His counsel and His word, but to do so in a way of loving and respect, so that all may come to see Christ and that none may be lost. Again, I'll leave the lesson with you, and as always, we do, for those that need anything at all, the invitation is always open as we stand and sing.